Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In Memphis today, three fire department workers fired, two more Memphis officers relieved of duty. So a total of seven officers were relieved of duty. Five have been fired. As you know, those five have been charged. Two are on administrative leave. Joe Tamburino and I covered the trial of Derek Chauvin here in the Twin Cities. He joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Joe, nice to have you with us today.
How you doing, Jason? Thanks for having me on.
Did Memphis do this right as far as disciplining officers immediately afterwards, taking action relatively quickly?
Yes, it appears that they have. I think what they've done is they've learned from situations before, such as the George Floyd situation with Mr. Chauvin and the other former officers. And they quickly went through this. They quickly released as much as they could of the body-worn camera videos. I know that some of it has been redacted, but they released to the public everything that the Nichols family had seen. And they quickly fired these police officers and then got indictments on them.
Is this the way that this is going to go now? I mean, not long ago, you know, Derek Chauvin was fired the day after George Floyd was killed. But that was sort of an unusually quick disciplinary action.
Right. It was very quick with the Chauvin situation. But I think where we have these body-worn camera videos and other videos, you know, like the poll camera videos or, say, business commercial videos, which pretty much shows the whole situation. As soon as you have the higher-ups in that police department review it, they're going to be able to make a determination as to whether or not excessive force was used. Some situations you may not know. The video may not show everything, or it could be a close call, meaning that the officers really used the amount of force that was necessary at the time. But in something like this, where we have just gratuitous violence, where the officers are, you know, for no reason, punching, kicking, clubbing Mr. Nichols while he was on the ground, while he's handcuffed. I mean, with something like that, it is exactly what you see.
Joe Tamburino is a criminal defense attorney, legal analyst with us, talking about Tyre Nichols, developments coming out still today. You know, Joe, I want to ask about the video, because in these sorts of incidents, there is video. I'm sort of amazed at the volume of video, because in Memphis, it was that overhead camera on a pole that really gave you the image of how devastatingly unnecessary this beating was. Are these cameras everywhere? I mean, that video actually gave us a more clear idea of what was going on than even the officers' cameras themselves.
That's correct. I mean, in today's world, cities, even our city, we have dozens of cameras that are around downtown. Some are police cameras, some are through the downtown council, and some are commercially owned. But all of these, usually with the police, have access to them. So in today's world, if you're in, you know, certain areas of town or downtown, you're likely going to be videoed. And it's completely legal, because when you enter the public realm, when you walk on a street, on a sidewalk, anybody could take a picture of you.
Yeah.
That's why you see people taking pictures of Hollywood stars as they're walking to or from a restaurant or bar. It's completely legal.
Question about the video release, because Tyre Nichols, the beating happened on January 7th. He died on January 10th. The video is released on the 27th. That seems like a long time to me. Is it a long time? Is there a way we can get like a standard of saying, you know, if there's a critical incident with police, we will release the video to the public within 5 days, 3 days. It always, I feel, makes you skeptical as to what's going on when it takes so long for the video to come out.
I don't think that was released too late at all. I think that was speedily released. And here's why. When you have even a regular DUI arrest involving two or three officers, you might have 8 hours of body-worn camera video that you have to review, let alone five officers, EMTs, a couple of sheriff's deputies. It takes a while to go through all of those videos. Then you have to examine them under the rubric, under the examination of use of force, the use of force continuum. So this takes a while. And then you need expert advice. So to get all that done within a couple of weeks, the Memphis DA and police department did an exceptional job.
But why can't they just release it, though, and still be doing all of that stuff, still be doing all of that analysis, even if they don't release all of it, if they release the body-worn cameras or something? Because I feel like these incidents end up playing out in a similar way, where you have a couple of days of family members saying, just release the video, just release the video, and that... I wonder if you would have more trust if you could release it. And I do know, like, in the scheme of a massive investigation, yeah, like, you know, 2 weeks. Well, what was it? Yeah, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was 3 weeks about. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fast. Yeah. But in the scheme of our desire as a 24-hour news cycle and the desire of protesters and family, like, people, I think, expect it quicker than that, don't they?
They do, but there's a couple of important reasons why you just can't willy-nilly just release everything within 24 hours or 72 hours. One is you don't want to influence potential witnesses. You want to make sure that if there's a witness to a crime, that person tells you exactly what they experienced, what they saw, what they heard. If all of a sudden you're releasing all these videos, that witness might take those videos and imprint them on his or her own memory. And we don't want that to have an accurate investigation. Right. The second thing is, you don't know if you're trying to prevent certain people from not being recognized. Who would they be? There could be undercover informants. There could be undercover police. There could be children. There's a number of things that you just can't throw these videos out there.
Yeah, that in Memphis did a lot of blurring of faces and things like that while still releasing an unedited full view of what happened. I do understand that part of it. Yeah. It's tricky because, you know, like, it does take a lot of time and to obtain the video and all of that. I'm less concerned about the witness interview. I feel like you could get it done in a week. You could say, all right, 7 days. See, already, Joe, you've moved me from saying 3 days to five to seven. I'm a reasonable person. I can be convinced. But this is definitely, I think this is an area we're going to, I guess I wish we didn't have these incidents and then you wouldn't have as much of a calling for this. But the reality is these sorts of things do happen. Yeah.
Yes, they do. And what's going to happen is I think that most states, I hope our state legislature would do this, which is give police departments some parameters about when they could start releasing the videos. Because you're going to see the public want more and more, not only of police use of force videos, but other crime videos. Because someone who's been, say, the victim of a robbery or a carjacking is going to say, hey, wait a minute, why aren't my videos being released? Why can't the public see that? Why can't my neighbor see that? I want to see who did this to me. So I think what this is going to evolve into are new laws that say pretty much what you were saying, which is within a certain period of time, you have to release the video. Say it's 30 days. And then if the prosecutor or the police agency needs more time to go through it or doesn't want certain individuals compromised, they could go to court and say, we need more time than that. We can't do it in 30 days. But I agree with you. I think more and more we're going to see this.
Joe Tamburino's a criminal defense attorney, legal analyst here, talking about new developments in the death of Tyre Nichols. Joe, in many of these cases now, mayors, police chiefs are quick to come out unequivocally denouncing what the officers did. Now, it doesn't take a genius to look at this video and say, okay, like, yes, I'm going to denounce what the officers did. But I wonder what that means in the legal process, because this is how it's going to go now. If you're a mayor, if you're a chief, you're expected to come out forcefully. Does this end up when you end up, you know, these things go to court. These officers will have a trial. What do you make of this move to quickly denounce the officers?
It's problematic. I mean, I understand why it happens. And I think in this case, you know, when we see these officers and they're all beating on Mr. Nichols, it's not going to, I don't think, cause a great problem. But there could very well be other cases where it's going to be very difficult to get a fair and impartial jury for, say, officers who were there at the scene but didn't quite know everything that was going on. You know, like even going back to the Chauvin case. I mean, let's remember, Mr. Tao never touched George Floyd. He wasn't part of the physical fight of restraining Mr. Floyd. He was keeping people away. So in a situation like that, the officer could very well think to himself, how am I going to get a fair trial when the mayor of whatever city is saying I'm guilty when I never even touched the suspect? I didn't know what was going on. So it's those individuals who are, yes, part of the whole scene, but didn't actually use any physical force. They are going to have problems trying to get a fair and impartial jury.
No one feels sorry for these officers in Memphis, but it's an interesting reality of how this goes moving forward.
Right.
Joe Tamburino, thank you for the insight as always.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
550 traffic and weather together next on CCO.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.